we are going to commence, and here's wishing you, Chinese people say this is everybody's birthday. So happy birthday and happy new year. Do you realize that today they call it everybody's birthday? You didn't know, huh? Anyway, think about this. And today, it's of course, we are looking at Chinese New Year. You are lots richer. And the question is, what do we do with all the money that we have? Now, that's an important question. We often take this for granted, that we think that we know what to do. Well, this is the big challenge. Today, we're going to learn about how we ought to handle the funds or the money that God has given to us. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude, as we practice stillness of heart and of mind. We pray that you will prepare our hearts always to look into the matter of how we can learn valuable lessons, practical lessons of life. Help us to understand how we can find understanding and wisdom to use the resources that we have given to us. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Let's prepare to worship. Thanks for the prelude and help us always to appreciate these things. And every time we come for worship, make it a point to, you know, look at it and say, don't just listen to the music and then, you know, count the number of minutes that it's going to take and then it's all gone. Literally, not an easy thing to do, to say, I need to prepare the hearts and the mind. And what comes next? And then we come singing next. What comes next? A lot of times we, you know, take for granted all of these things. And one of the things I like to do whenever I do prepare heart for worship, I ask myself, okay, what's the sequence? So then I prepare my heart accordingly. Okay, that's a prelude, one. Next part of it, the singing of praise to the Lord, 2. Next after that, a scripture reading, 3. And 4, there's a message, and so on and so forth. And when you think in terms of sequence, that helps to prepare for worship too. So otherwise, it's just automatic. And once you look at automatic, it's like, forget about it. It sort of stops the whole idea of worship, and it can be less meaningful as a result. So try to ask yourself, okay, why do I understand this? What's a sequence? Ask yourself, what's the meaning of sequence? Why do we do this? Why do that? And then it makes you ponder, pause for a while, and say, okay, now really want to thank God for this. And that will give us an added understanding as to what worship can mean for us. And then now I need to prepare my heart. That's your prelude part. What was I thinking about? What was I preparing a heart for? Okay, now we're going to have someone lead us in worship and singing. Okay, how does that work? Now, all of these things are going to be important for us to ponder over. Okay, so that until that worship becomes something that we understand a little bit better and prepare our hearts a little bit more, and that becomes a little bit more meaningful, right? So understand little things like that. Sometimes it's small things that help us to see the big picture. Think about this. Okay, we're going to have a time of singing. Praise to the Lord.
Hi, everyone. Hope you all had a meaningful time celebrating Chinese New Year over the past week. So I'm sure all of you participated in a few traditions this Chinese New Year, and I was asking around. So some of you bought new clothes. One even went up to Malaysia to visit relatives and to watch the fireworks. And some had reunion dinner on Chinese New Year Eve. And also some toss lo hei. And a tradition that we practice quite commonly is bai nian, which is translated to wishing and greeting each other with blessings during Chinese New Year. And as a young child, I liked this practice, not so much because of the actual tradition itself, but what I would get after I bai nian. And so I would wish my relatives with a few greetings in Chinese with the help of my mom, and then I would receive a red packet, and my relatives would also wish and greet me. And as I've grown older, I've begun to appreciate this tradition a lot more, as I would listen to what my relatives have to say, what they hope and wish for me in the new year. And I'm always encouraged by the fact that they look out for me and they are caring for me through the year. And as greetings and blessings were exchanged amongst my family members, I realized how much God's blessings can be appreciated in these seemingly ordinary things. And one of God's greatest blessings to me is my family. So there's a picture, or two pictures of my family that were taken during the Chinese New Year season. So our families are people who have loved us even before we knew them, and they have given so much of themselves in big and small ways through our lives. And one lesson which has helped me to... I think can go to the next. Yeah. One way in which I've appreciated this blessing of family is through the lessons we've been learning at youth worship, and particularly the lesson of how Joseph continually cared and provided for his family despite his family situation. So Joseph's dynamic faith in God helped him to genuinely care for his family members, even though he was poorly treated and he was sold as a slave as a teen. And Joseph could have very well denied his family food when they came to Egypt, but yet he provided so abundantly for them. And this was only through this dynamic faith he had with the Lord. And he simply cared for his family because they were family. And for all of us here, we have been blessed with family. And sometimes we might not appreciate this blessing as much, and it might be easier to relate to our friends. However, our family members have looked out for us and taken care of us even before we could take care of ourselves. And we can look to the example of Joseph, who cared for his family despite his familial challenges. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And this is one of the lines in our first song, Blessed Be Your Name. May we recognize that every blessing comes from the Lord, including this blessing of family. And may this inspire us to praise Him this afternoon. Thank you for your fine singing. So, post-Chinese New Year means that we return to the routine of school and work. And even as we've completed the end of 1 month in 2023, I realized that there are many changes to adapt and adjust to. So I'm sure this is the same for most of you here who, for those in school, you will have to get used to different changes, like changes in your timetables, changes with the teachers and the syllabus. And for those working, it would be changes of bosses or colleagues or even the workload. And these changing circumstances in our lives are sometimes challenging to adapt and adjust to. And for me, an unexpected challenge which prompted a change of mindset was a recent internship stint. So this internship stint was particularly difficult because of the tight deadlines that I had to meet, and also sometimes the instructions given were not very clear. And I recognized there was a need to adapt and adjust to the demands of this internship. And also because I was at this internship for an extended period of time. And recognizing the need to adapt and adjust was just one thing. But what would help me to adapt and adjust to these changes? So at Youth Worship, we've been learning about Joseph and how he adapted to the different challenges he faced. And these challenges caused great changes in his life. But Joseph never once prayed that God would take these difficulties away. Joseph would not have known that he would be sold as a slave. And as a slave, Joseph wouldn't have known that he would be then thrown into prison. And as a prisoner, he wouldn't have known that he would rise again to a position of authority. And one might ask how Joseph was able to adapt and adjust to these changes so quickly and so readily. And behind the man, it was God who enabled him to cope with these life changes. And so this God of ours helped Joseph to find favor with Potiphar when he was a servant, and he also helped Joseph to find favor with Pharaoh as well. And coming into 2023, which has just begun, I realized with this year of changes, there will be difficulties to and challenges that I'll need to adapt and adjust to. And I recognize that I will not be able to do so just based off my human will. And only God can empower us to adapt and to succeed. So our next song is Empower Me. And the Lord knows that we are weak and we are unable to face a year of changes and challenges alone. As it says in the first verse, nobody knows how weak I am better than you. Nobody sees all of my needs better than you. And the Lord doesn't just leave us to struggle alone. His word that we turn to each week at Youth Worship provides answers for us to adapt to these changes. And the God of Joseph will be the same God that will empower us to adjust and adapt to a year of changes. And with that, let's take our next song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 47, verses 13 to 26. In this passage, the famine had worsened as time passed. and Joseph had come up with different solutions so that the people of Egypt would not starve. Nearing the end of the famine, he gave the Egyptians seed to sow so that they would have crops to yield by the next harvest season. Seeing this, the Egyptians were very grateful for Joseph. Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house.
So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." Then Joseph said, "Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock, and if the money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus, he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year.
When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands.
Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give 1/5 to Pharaoh. 4/5 shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food and those of your households, and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have 1/5, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's.
Thank you, ladies. I'd like to wish everyone a blessed Chinese New Year. From our last youth worship service, we learned and was challenged by Pastor to do a Joseph. Remember that? He spoke of how Joseph was outstanding in how he provided for his father, his brothers, and their families. His brothers were not easy people to relate to. They tried to kill him in the past. And when Joseph told them not to mention the word shepherd to the Pharaoh, they did. And yet, despite all this, he cared for his family, for his brothers. And this was something that really stood out about Joseph. So we were challenged by Pastor to cultivate our character, to cultivate our heart, to care for people, and to have a heart that learns to give. You know, this afternoon I'm going to pray that we would have such a heart. The Lord Jesus taught about how it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's truly a blessing when we learn to give towards others. So with whatever ang pao that we have received, let's learn to give some of it to the Lord and to those who are in need. Well, let's pray that we can cultivate a heart like Joseph. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful example of how Joseph provided for his father and his brothers. We pray that we too can cultivate our character and our heart, that we can care enough for others to give to those who are in need. Teach us to cultivate this habit of giving to others. And we ask for your blessings as we seek to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, today we are going to learn vital lessons about money, how to handle money, and so on and so forth. I think that's an important lesson. I don't know whether your parents ever sit you down and say, let's talk about money. No, huh? But we really should. And I think we want to learn about, from the Egyptians, how to look at money, looking at Joseph, and how he also looked at money. That is important. There are lessons for us to learn, and we must learn them well. Now, that is the big question, whether we can do this, right? Well, let's take a look at what we have just read in this particular text here. That this is important for us to understand in Genesis 47. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at. Today, there are all different kinds of theories about how to use money. I was reading with some alarm how in Taiwan, right? So the average worker, a young lady, earns over $5,000 Taiwan money, which comes down to about 1,000 Singapore dollars. And so what would you do with that kind of money? And they decided, we can move out our parents' house. We live on our own. That's rental, right? So they pay rental about $300-$400. That leaves them $600, $700 more. Okay, well and good. So what are we going to do? He says, look, we can't afford to save enough money to buy our own house later, so why bother? So what do they do with the rest of the money? One, go out for dinners, go out for movies, go out for beauty treatment, until the money is gone every month. There is nothing to speak about at the end of the month. How much did you save? We say, why save for what? I mean, seriously, save for what? We'll never be able to afford a house. We'll never be able to have anything. So what for save? So they spend every dollar that they earn. Is that a good thing to do? Now, that's a big question, right? Now, it's something that you need to think about very carefully. What happens if, you know the old saying, save for a rainy day. This one will be saved for a famine. Think about how that works. So we're going to study the dignity of the Egyptians when it comes to money matters. And then on the other side, the wisdom and the dignity that Joseph had I think that is going to be very, very important for us to look at. Okay, so we're going to study this very carefully. Okay, now, the situation is very obvious. Famine in the land, right? So let's take a look at this very carefully. Now, how bad was the famine? Verse 13. Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe. Right? The land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, languished because of the famine. So no bread, literally, there was nothing to buy in the shops. Now it's gonna be hard to understand how this. We go down to any grocery shop, anything, any supermarket. Right? We Singapore, we are spoiled for choices. You can go to Sheng Siong if you cannot afford very much, or you can go to the high end and you can go and buy very expensive stuff in Dempsey Road. Right? So you can go to those grocers, they specialize in things like, and they are about 3-4 times higher than what a Sheng Siong will ever charge. But they don't sell the things that Sheng Siong does anyway. So there we go. So we have extreme ends. Affordable to only those who can afford. Now, so what if there is nothing else that's left? Now, let's look at the dignity of it all. Okay, now, this is important. Right? Now, this is something that we want to look at. And so the people came. The Joseph gathered up all the money that was there. In other words, now, every time you see a shooting or a looting in the U.S. or any other country, straight away, people will break down the shop, carry off the TVs, carry off whatever that is there, loot. If you don't want to do it, somebody else will, so you might as well take. That is the attitude. There's no dignity there. Over here, when you look at it, what happens if there is nothing else left? Now, I like the dignity that is there found. All right? So when the money failed, they came to Joseph in verse 15 and we read, "Give us bread. Why should we die in your presence? The money has failed." In other words, we have got no money. Now, one of the reasons why we want to have money at hand is because you don't know when money can fail. So if you've got nothing else, let us say that you spend all your money, every month you spend so much money and there is nothing to show for it. What happens when this happens? You're stung, you're stuck. And so when money has failed, now watch the dignity of it all. They will still need to eat, give us bread. And so Joseph, okay, now you have got assets. What are your assets? Not money, but as livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. Now you think, well, that's not very fair, but wait a minute. That is a lot of wisdom and dignity on Joseph's part. If he doesn't buy the livestock, how would the livestock be fed? You see the point of it all? Right? Now, there is, you need that wisdom, that discretion to ask yourself, how do you help? If you give free things, you say, okay, loot. I mean, listen, we're going to have mayhem. We're going to have everybody fighting everywhere. Nope. There are still assets, livestock. Okay, what livestock? We take a look. So Joseph, they brought the livestock to Joseph and they gave. No money, but we've got livestock, horses, flocks, cattle of the herds, donkeys. That is asset too. Sell. Now, if I cannot feed myself, how am I going to feed the animals? Right? So if I cannot feed the animals, they will all die. Can you see this? So, all right, let's say you kill a horse. And you eat the horse, how long will that last? a few weeks, you still got many more months ahead. So what's the point? But they were willing to say, yes, we got acid, we sell. Give us bread. Nothing. Okay, plain bread, nothing else. Right? That would be sufficient. And Joseph understood that. Livestock. So there we go. You see the point of it all? Giving people money. You know, people are asking, well, the government is so rich, why don't they give us? Why don't they give us? You will end up with losing the value of the things that we have. We can't do that. And Joseph knew that. To give out free food all the time will make it worse than a welfare state. They won't learn anything from it. They will not learn the dignity of it all. We have assets. Question is whether I can sell them. Right? And who would buy them? Because whoever buys the livestock, if they're very hungry, you've got to feed them properly. And Joseph said, we take over. Right? We've got all the money. Now, livestock, we own horses, donkeys, sheep, cattle, and so we own all the livestock. That lasted them the whole year. Now, watch what happens now. Verse 18. So they came to him the next year, and he says, we will not hide them from my Lord. Our money is gone. My Lord also has herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Now, you see the dignity of it all? Okay, now we appreciate you taking care of what. We cannot say, hey, that was my old horse, that's my old sheep, that's my old... They're all gone, yours, agreed. They belong to Pharaoh. Now, watch this very, very carefully. All right? So this is something that we want to appreciate. Now, and the dignity of Joseph, I really liked it very much. And I call it dignity. Because when he took all of these things there, he did not put it any dollar, any coin into his own pocket. That is one of the problems that we have when people do IPOs. Right? So they just sell them. And who is the one who has the most? The one who launches it. A lot of money goes into their own pocket. Cryptocurrency, they sell all those shares there. They take those things. And the first thing they do is to buy for their father, buy for their mother, buy for their uncle, buy for their auntie, buy for their cousins, buy for non-existent children. All over the place, grand big houses. Pharaoh, everything went to Pharaoh. Joseph did not benefit one coin. Look at this. I call that dignity. Can you see this? Right? So we read, Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. You see, the people there had dignity. Okay, we got no money. We have money. We spent it all on food just to stay alive. Okay, now that we've spent all the money, guess what? We have livestock here. So you buy it from us, we'll be happy. Just give us bread. 1 year of survival. Now, nothing else left. And they said, listen, there is something else. We have our body. We have our land. What's the point of having the land? What's the point of this body that is wasting away? Okay, how about you buy our land? You buy us, as it were. And this is where it works. This is how it works. Watch it. Right? Thus, he fed them with bread in exchange for their livestock that year. And then later on, we read, right? Why should we die? And so Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, not for himself. You see the point of it all? Nothing to do with... Now, this would be, wow, opportunity for him to get super rich. He can be richer than the Pharaoh if he wants to. Nothing doing. Not Joseph. His dignity for who he is will not allow him to benefit like this. He will not take advantage. Right? He is acting on behalf of Pharaoh. This is Pharaoh's time. He is paid okay, now he's going to do it for Pharaoh. To me, that is tremendous dignity in the handling of funds. Okay, now we read. And so we read in verse 20, so the land became Pharaoh's. Now, we've got no land to live in, right? Where do you live? Everything now belongs to Pharaoh. Where would they live? Now, this is where you have to, we call this due diligence. Not just dignity. You really do due diligence. What did he do next? Now, you need to be very, very wise in handling funds like that. So the entire land is now Pharaoh's. Money, livestock, people, everything, everyone now belongs to Pharaoh. What would you do next? I really like this. Okay? So the land became Pharaoh's. Verse 21, as for the people, he moved them into the cities. In other words, he built cities. Where do we go? What do? Right? We have to have, this is what Singapore did a long time ago. Okay, we need to move people from the slums. What do? Build flats. Right? Not great flats, but flats. People at least have a roof over their head. They were called SIT flats in the early days. Very small, right? 600, that's it, square feet, that's very little, very small. Little bit of a kitchen, one little sitting room combined with a bedroom, that's it. But when you've got nothing, it's something. It is some security, there is some dignity there. And so, okay, let's move into the cities. It's what China is doing right now. When people are in the rural land, they are farmers, and they don't want to become farmers, where do they go to? Cities. So they are not new. Joseph was way ahead. I mean, build cities for that people can be there. That is dignity. How? Create employment, infrastructure, build cities, take the money, pay the people, build the cities, take the people there, put them in. There is due diligence done right there and then. And so Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have bought you your land this day for Pharaoh. Can you see this? All the way, it was Pharaoh. There was no despising of the people in any way. They are Pharaoh's servants. Now, one day when I was in a different country, in fact, I was in India then, and I saw a rich man having his lunch. And after lunch, he stretched out his hand. Lo and behold, a servant came to pour water on his hand. He didn't even look at the guy. And then he had to dry his hand, and then he put out his other hand. And then, so he had his hand washed, literally, pour water on him, and then he walked into the thinker. There was absolutely no regard for the person who helped him to clean his hands. What is that all about? Not Joseph. Watch what he said. Okay? Now, I bought you your land this day for Pharaoh. Now, that is something most surprising. And he said this in verse 23, here is seed for you. Now, Joseph knew well enough. The 7 years are going to be over. 7 years, now we can start sowing again, fallow ground. Dig the place. Everything has to be done. But if you don't have seed, how do you sow? They've got no money. They've got no livestock. Right? They've got absolutely nothing. And here we go. And he said, you shall sow the land. No, Joseph can't do it. His soldiers can't do it. You shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass when the harvest at the harvest. Some people say, wow, 20% tax. Hello? What do you mean 20% tax? You had nothing. Right? Can you see the dignity at the point of it all? Joseph was giving them an opportunity to work. You can keep 80%. You show me a partner out there who will do that today. You keep that 80%. 20% goes to Pharaoh. You can till the ground. What? You have a chance to do something all over again. Right? Maybe with that 80%, if you save enough money, you can buy your land back. You can buy your cattle back. You can buy your livestock back. You can build your own house again. But Joseph gave them that opportunity to do that. Don't grumble about paying taxes. It is a privilege to pay those taxes. What taxes? Can you see this point of it all? Now, Joseph has to establish all of these things here. And this is an important pay, 20%. Four fees shall be your own, a seed for the field, for your food, those of your household, food for your little ones. And they recognize, again, dignity. Joseph, you have saved our lives. How wonderful it is. That is the point of money, right? It is not acquisition. It is not getting more money. What is the point of it all? You have saved our lives. That is called discernment. Can you see this? Now, there was dignity on the part of the Egyptians. They did not loot. They did not go on a rampage. They did not protest. We got no food. We don't have. This is modern day stuff. Okay? No money. I sell all my assets. No more assets. Here I am, able-bodied. Tell me where to go. What to do. You want the land? Take. Just feed me. You want me to move house from my nice house in the rural area into the city, cram, whatever. I have a future. Dignity on the part of Joseph completely matched with the dignity of the Egyptians. Combine them together. Straight away, the Egyptians had that discernment. You have saved our lives. Now, that to me is the point of it all. What is it all about? You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord. We will be Pharaoh's servants. You see this? Now, they were already bought. So they actually belonged to Pharaoh already. They sold their bodies. They were slaves already. But this time, it is not because they were forced to sell, because they are now saying, we will serve Pharaoh. What a great, it was not Pharaoh. It was actually Joseph. It was Joseph all the way from beginning to end. But Pharaoh doesn't know any of these things here, but Joseph did. With dignity, with due diligence, his good. Now, all these things are good decisions to make all the way through. Now, what are the principles that we want to ask ourselves? What is that all about for today? How do we see money? How do you see your money? Well, you can be like the modern world and spend. Since I don't have, I might just spend, right? Today we eat, tomorrow we die. And you can take that attitude. Nobody can stop you from doing that. But should there be a crisis, you are in trouble. Dignity. No money, assets. Assets gone, here I am, able-bodied, I will serve, I will do anything, I will serve. That's how it is. That's dignity part of it. On the part of Joseph, we learn what it means to treat people with dignity. Don't despise people. Treat them with honor, dignity, regard them. And when they say, we are servants of Pharaoh, it will come from the heart. It will not be just a simple statement because they have to, but because they want to serve a Pharaoh like this one whom Joseph himself served. Now, that is something that we must be challenged by, right? So you have to think about yourself. What is it? Well, I want to tell you a story of an old Indian man. In the past, he used to earn 4 coins a day. four coins. And he said this. So somebody asked him, what do you do with your four coins? He says, one, this coin is for the past. This coin is for the present. This coin is for the future. This one I throw away. I said, what are you talking about? He says, this is how I spend my money. The past I will always remember. My parents brought me up. I will always look after them. The present, I have the present family. I will take care of them. The future, I will set one corner aside, one coin aside, just in case something not so good happens in the future. And the fourth one, I throw away. Why? Because I'm going to give to people who will never be able to give it back to me. I will give to the poor. And that was what he wanted to use. So four coins. He earns four coins a day, one past, present, future, and one, as it were, to throw away. Meaning to say, he doesn't expect anything to come back from it because he's giving it freely from his heart. I like that approach. Think about this. What do you do with your funds? You can hoard it. But remember, it's not about hoarding. It's about utility. It's about dignity. It's about discernment. It's about good decision. It's about doing things right. This was the dignity of it all. And this is important. And then one day, somebody will be able to look at it and say, you know what, Joseph? You have saved our lives. And how wonderful it is that we can learn this. One day, the funds that you have may help someone significantly, may be a blessing to someone meaningfully. And when you are able to do that, someone may say to you, you have saved our lives. This principle is what we adopt when we go to Myanmar to do this. We don't help the rich, we help the poor. Same principle in India. Same principle in Myanmar. And so we treat them with dignity. We don't ask them to build shacks. We ask them to build a nice church. What do? We help them to have a farm, to have a plantation. It's their churches over where they are in Kenya is bigger than our church. Bethel, that's a gift from us, also bigger than Bethany. We do it with dignity. We do it with discernment. What are we doing? May people see and understand we are seeking to save lives. That is what funds are all about. And if you can learn these principles well, one day you will be in that position. Maybe one day you will be a CEO. Remember, don't put all the money into your own pocket. Right? You're going to get arrested. And then you have our lawyers to defend you. Well, if you get arrested, you don't need defense. You need to go to jail. Well, that's very harsh. No, that's very correct. No, this is something we want to ask ourselves. What should we do? Learn to use funds wisely. Four coins, past, present, future, and one to throw away. Think about this. So every Saturday, when we come to give an offering, remember, right? It's going to go to help people in countries that are far poorer than us. Just like in Egypt, they have got nothing much. What do? We're going to send funds over to support that work that we are seeking to do. And this is something we want to do with a great sense of dignity. Don't give despising people. Give with dignity. This is going to save their lives. That is vital. Think about this, right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy and the privilege of receiving so much. Thank you for the good families you've given to us. Thank you for the success we see and the luxuries that we actually have. Teach our hearts to give with dignity, to discern, to do due diligence, to make good decisions along the way, so that all that you have blessed us with we can help other people. We pray for your blessings as we give this offering to you. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, here are lessons to learn. Don't blow the ang pao money away. Practice four coins, okay? Past, present, future, and something that you can do, and that would be wonderful. Maybe one day you will become a CEO, we don't know. Who knows what you can become? You can become whatever. But make sure that you live with great dignity all the time. Okay? Hopefully, none of our lawyers need to defend you. And don't have your name appear on the front page. And then they put a, from Bethany. Don't let that happen. Really have a wonderful weekend and really grow up well. Yeah, lots of blessings.